the North Peace MB Church Roundtable Podcast. For more information, visit npmbchurch.com.
All right. Well, thanks for tuning in to the North Peace Roundtable Podcast. We took a week off last week. This is Andrew. I was gone down in Vancouver for a church planning conference. I thought Don was going to record a solo one, maybe. But he doesn't know how to set up the equipment.
Plus, I didn't get permission from the boss. And yes, technology.
You recorded what?
Well, we joked around about what we should say we did record and just say, so do you think that was okay?
Like, yeah.
What? I'm gone for 1 week.
Oh, man. So this morning, or I guess almost this afternoon, we kind of talked this week about, well, what do we want to talk about? What do we want to unpack next? And at our church, the past couple weeks, we've been doing a series on marriage and spent 2 weeks talking about men and women and roles and specifically the week on wives and women, talking about from Ephesians 5, you know, wives submit to your husbands and everything, and trying to explain, because I think right away women just like, well, they cringe at that word, or even, you know, they can't even submit. Oh, I can't even say it. And hopefully we did a good job of unpacking, okay, this is what biblical submission looks like. It's not a bad thing. So then just talking with Don, we went, there's a lot of other passages that I think we either balk at, or we avoid, or we try and change what the meaning is because it's so awkward. Don, well, let's tackle those passages head on. So, Don, which one are we going to look at today?
Well, we know one of the big passages, especially for women to wrestle with, and even some guys, and I know some have asked, you know, what is our church kind of view on this passage, and it's 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9 to 15, and that is the section where it says that women should learn in quietness and full submission. I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man. She must be silent. So we want to look at that passage today and let you know what we feel God's word is saying. And yeah, we don't think it's necessarily rocket science, but it seems like our culture has made it rocket science, so that we're almost paralyzed into wondering what God's word really says. And I know even in the past 10 years, some of our leaders have preached from the front on this passage, and they basically said, here's the two views, kind of you figure it out. And there was no clear direction. I remember me being very disappointed. I mean, I might not agree with the view, but at least is that all we got? Like, we just got a kind of, well, here's two or three of the popular views and you figure it out.
Yeah.
And the people are going, well, you're our shepherd.
Like, yeah, you help figure us it out.
So it just kind of leaves a question. Is the Bible that complicated? And yes, there are sections, places where it is difficult to translate, but we don't think this passage is quite that difficult. Nope. So we want to talk about that today.
Yeah. And in a second, I'll read it again, maybe from like verse 8 right to the end, just so you know the whole thing. But you're right. I think, I don't think it's a difficult, you know, some passages you go, what on earth is is Paul trying to say? Or what is, But for this one, I think the difficulty is that culturally, our culture says the exact opposite. So we come to the passage with that lens, and then that's why we wrestle with it. And we go, our feelings, right? Where our feelings are so much a part of how we read scripture. And we go, well, I feel like that's not fair. I feel like that's oppressive. And I heard one pastor say, well, the Bible doesn't really care about your feelings because God is saying this is truth. So, I mean, Don and I are both on the same page, which is nice, so this won't be like an argument. I think it's this. We both land on the same one, and we both say, I don't really think it's that hard, but we want to spend some time because we know that some women and some men, this is a really hard passage, and maybe there's some baggage around it. So 1 Timothy 2, I'll start in verse 8, and then it goes right to the end of the chapter. Paul says, I desire then that in every place the men should pray, lifting holy hands without anger or quarreling. Verse 9, likewise also that women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel, with modesty and self-control, not with braided hair, no braids allowed. Just kidding. And golds or pearls or costly attire, but with what is proper for women who profess godliness, with good works. Then here are basically the two main verses that people really struggle with. Let a woman learn quietly with all submissiveness. I do not permit a woman to teach or to exercise authority over a man. Rather, she's to remain quiet. For Adam was formed first, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived and became a transgressor. Gresser. Verse 15, yet she will be saved through childbearing, which we'll have to unpack that too, if they continue in faith and love and holiness with self-control. So there's a few spots in there that are a little sticky and that, I mean, yeah, verse 9, all men should pray. I don't think anyone's like, no. Or even verse 9 is not that, verse 9 and 10 is not super difficult. Paul is saying, Paul's not saying that you can't not braid your hair and you can't wear jewelry, mm-hmm. but he's saying, don't make the outward appearance what you stress or the most important thing about you. He says what godliness is, right? With good works. And so, and actually culturally, a lot of times women who would deck themselves out with costly attire and braids and jewelry and all that, they were considered loose women in that culture. So Paul is saying, don't be like that. Don't try and attract attention through your outward appearance, through jewelry, through trying to, you know, seductively dress or whatever. He's saying, pursue godliness, adorn yourself with godliness and good works. I don't think anyone would wrestle with that. So really then, verse 11 and 12 is the hard verses. Let a woman learn quietly with all submissiveness. I don't permit a woman to teach or to exercise authority over a man. So, I don't know.
I think a good place to start is Paul is instructing Timothy in how the church is supposed to operate.
Yes.
So I think that's good. This isn't just an isolated thing. So I just wanted to read, chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. Paul tells Timothy, although I hope to come to you soon, I am writing you these instructions so that if I am delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth. So Paul is instructing Timothy what the church should look like when it gets together.
Yeah.
So I think that's good to remember that this is...
Yeah, it's not... Paul's not saying... So a woman who's a professor at a university, she's not allowed to teach? Well, no, because that's not the church.
Yeah.
So that's actually, I'm glad that you said that, because Paul is not saying that women can't teach anywhere, but he's saying, okay, right, let's lay out how God's people, how the church operates. And so that's, thank you for saying that. That's really good to like...
Well, I think part of the argument that people have is this is an isolated thing in Ephesus that he's dealing with, and Paul here says this is how God's household in the whole scope of it, not just in Ephesus, and so it's bigger than just, because a lot of people want to say this is just a local event here and this is just something that happened there, but not according to Paul. This is God's household, and these are the instructions of how it should function. So
that's good to point out that one of the arguments or pushbacks is just what you said, like this doesn't apply to, and we do that with a lot of scripture, even in Ephesians when it talks about wives and husbands, you know, people who come from an egalitarian viewpoint, which is basically there are no roles, men and women, God doesn't give us roles. They would say, well, Paul was addressing a specific issue in Ephesus and it doesn't apply to us. But I mean, that's such a dangerous game to play. I know that it's true. When you read the Bible, you have to read it historically because Paul is writing to specific churches, but then you have to ask, well, do we believe that it's God's word and what principles are actually applicable to us? We should believe that the Bible applies to us. So even, I'll give you an example, in 1 Chronicles 7:14, is that the one? If my people who, is that, or is that 2 Chronicles 7:14?
2 Chronicles.
So a lot of, if my people who humble themselves, or if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and repent, right, I'll come and heal their land. Lots of people say, well, that was specifically for the Israelites. And they're right, it was, but the principles from that apply to us because it's God's word. So like, does God desire us to humble ourselves and to pray? Well, yeah. Does God want to come and heal our land? Sure. So, I mean, yeah, you read it. So even in 1 Timothy, we could say, well, Paul is addressing false doctrine that's being taught, and he was. Mm-hmm. And maybe Paul is saying that there were certain women that were standing up in church and trying to teach this false doctrine, which there could have been. But you're right. I think with the Bible that Paul is trying to instruct the church, like capital C church throughout the ages, this is how you function, I guess. So for you, Don, is this pretty cut and dry?
I think it's pretty cut and dry. I mean, even other people, ladies and men, have read this verse and go, so what is the problem? Like it seems to just mean what it says.
Okay.
And so I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man. She must be silent. So if this is talking to the church and how the church is supposed to function when it comes to teaching God's word and doctrine, that role God has given to men, and the women are to learn in quietness and full submission. So when that teaching is happening in the body of Christ, Paul is saying this job has been given to men. Yep. And so then the next section in chapter 3, Paul says this is what that man's supposed to look like.
Yeah.
And it's not any man.
No, it's a high bar.
Who can go up and say, hey, I'm going to teach, and all you ladies have to listen quietly and submissively. No, Paul then goes, well, here's what that guy is supposed to look like.
Yeah.
That the ladies are supposed to submit to and listen to that teaching. So so then she is to learn quietly. And then Paul goes back to Genesis.
Yeah.
So I think that's really important to note that after that, there's no mention of a local issue or something happening in Ephesus. Paul goes, this is because this is how it was right from the beginning, that God created Adam, and then he gave him a job to do in the garden. He gave him a command to follow. And after that, then he said, it's not good for man to be alone. And he made a suitable helper, one who is able to help man. And from there, we know that Adam taught his wife God's word, because we know she got the command from Adam, right?
Yeah.
And so he was responsible to lead her in that way. So Paul goes all the way back to the beginning that this is something God created before the fall, not after. After the fall, we started having the problems, the power struggle and all that, and where men, we talked about this in some of the sermons, where we became passive, where ladies stepped into roles they weren't meant to have, and it created a lot of havoc.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm glad that Paul does that. He roots it right into the beginning. He does that in Ephesians 2, in Ephesians 5, sorry, when people say, well, it's a cultural thing. Well, no, because Paul roots it right back into the creation account. And he even says that, right, in this passage, Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived. And you go, well, wait, I mean, they both sinned. We know that. They both sinned. But Adam's sin was different than Eve's sin. Mm-hmm. Because even, what is it, in chapter 3, verse 13, the Lord God said to the woman, what is this that you have done? And the woman said, what? The servant deceived me and I ate. So Eve was deceived. Adam's sin was the sin of passivity and just standing there like an idiot, not doing anything. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't say that Adam was deceived by Satan. He was just passively allowing this to happen. So yes, Adam and Eve are both held responsible, and their sins are different, but it doesn't, you don't throw out the roles that God gives because of sin. Or some people would even say, well, the roles that we have in the home and in the church are because of sin. But we see it, right, in Genesis 2. Adam's created, and he's given the main leadership role. And then Eve is created, and it says that she's a helper to him because he can't carry out his mandate on his own. So, again, we need to I feel like we have to stress it every time because I know people will hear it wrong. Like, this has nothing to do with equality or worth or dignity, or that God favors men. It has nothing to do with that. But it's hard for us because we go, but Adam's role seems so much more significant than Eve's role. But it has nothing to do with equality. They're just different, right? So Adam, actually, in Adam's role is, he has a greater responsibility and he'll be held accountable, I think, for how did you lead? How did you serve? And so I think it's the same in the church. God, so I'll tell you how I read that. Same thing. I think Paul is saying and God is saying that the church gathered together because, right, this is the church. This is not the university. This is not these other places. But God has specifically given the task of preaching the word of God to men. So when the church gathers together, you can call it the sermon time. You can call it the teaching time. I think that God specifically says that task he's given to men and not to women. Now, why don't we talk about a few other paths? Because some people will say, and they've seen it abused, where, I don't know, from your background, how would the old colony interpret this? Would this be like just no talking at all?
No talking at all. I mean, where I grew up from, the men sat on one side and the ladies sat on the other with the children. And they were completely silent and submissive. And the guys were the song leaders, the worship leaders, the ministers. Like, the whole thing was led by men. And so, yeah, there was nothing. The ladies were, you know, sitting, and I remember coming in, I wasn't really from an old colony background, coming into the church, and my dad didn't go to church, so my mom and us would go to church, and she would sit on her side, and my brother and I had to sit with the men, because we were 10, 11, 12, and we were the guys, so I just remember it was just really weird that the families didn't sit together. So I remember that as a boy, but yeah, all these responsibilities, the guys took seriously. There was some abuse, but they felt God's calling them to lead. So whether it was worship or the preaching or leading in communion, whatever, it was the guys who were taking the lead on that.
Yeah. And I think,
I was going to say, even for Sunday school teachers growing up, when I was 10, my Sunday school teachers were all men.
Oh, really?
So not only did they take leadership upstairs, I know, Emily, if you're listening, like, bring it on. Like,
yeah, we need
the
men.
The guys were the Sunday school teachers, and I remember that made a huge impact on me because I wanted to know what a godly man looked like, and I got to see it from these Sunday school teachers. So the ladies generally took the really small kids, which, but from, eight and up, it was guys.
That's cool.
And so that was cool.
Yeah.
And we've lost that somewhere.
Yeah. And I think for me, I don't think Paul is saying quite that extreme. And in other places it talks about, even in 1 Corinthians, that women are allowed to prophesy. And some people say, well, isn't that preaching? No, it's different because in that context, then there's interpretation and dialogue about the prophecy. But Paul doesn't say, women, you're not allowed to prophesy. He actually says women can. Yeah. It talks about women in Titus training younger women how to be godly. So there's an example of women teaching, not from the pulpit, right? Not on a Sunday or whenever churches gather, not to everyone. Even in 2 Timothy, Paul talks about Timothy, your mom and your grandmother trained you. And so there's an example of a woman training a man, her son, obviously. So I think that there's tons of examples and avenues where women can teach and use their abilities to do that. For me, it seems like Paul is saying, just not with everybody, from not the gathering of all of God's people and the preaching of God's word. It seems that God is saying, I've reserved that role for men. So for me, I go in, and lots of women who say, well, that, and maybe they have seen it abused where it's like, you're not allowed to do anything. Well, that's not really what the Bible says. The Bible seems to say this role I've reserved for men, and women can teach in other areas. And like I said, like a woman professor in a university who teaches men, that's different because that's not the preaching of God's word. It's, so it's not like we're saying all women stay at home and be quiet all the time, because I don't think that's what God says.
No.
And so we have to be careful that we don't just jump to that conclusion, because I mean, God seems to specifically be saying this role, if that makes sense. I do want to read, I like this, because we're going to recommend a couple books, but Claire Smith wrote a book called God's Good Design, and she talks about that that very thing. And she says this: the battle for women in our day is to accept God's wisdom in this and be content with it when our entire culture has taught us not to be. And then she says, the battle for men, as it was in Genesis 3, is to step up to the sort of leadership Paul has in mind when our entire culture insists that women are the real go-to men and that men and boys have little to contribute beyond being the butt of jokes. So I think that's so true.
Yeah.
That women would be content going, okay, God in his sovereignty and in his wisdom says that the main teaching role in a church is for a man, but then also that men would actually step up and do it.
Yeah.
Right.
And not give, the ladies a reason like, well, there's no leadership happening, so we got to fill this.
Yeah. Yeah. That's very true. Then it gets interesting because verse 15, and we'll talk about this for a couple minutes. It says, yet she will be saved through childbearing if they continue in faith and love and holiness with self-control. So what does that mean, Don?
Well, we know a couple things it doesn't mean, but women will be saved can't mean salvation, because we know that wouldn't be consistent with the rest of Scripture. And even Paul in the beginning of chapter 2 says that God, our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth, there is one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. So he's talking, there's one Savior, it's faith in him. So we know that childbearing won't save you, and we know there's many women who can't have children, are they doomed to die without Christ? And no. So I personally, through study, just no, Paul is calling women not to grasp at roles that God hasn't given to them, but to accept the role that God has given to them. And one of the things that God created woman for is to help Adam fill the earth with image bearers, God's image bearers. And I think for some women, that seems like such a low calling. Like, if I could be a pastor or a minister or something lofty, then my life would have meaning.
Yeah.
But Paul is calling women back to what God has created them for. And because God created them for it, it's a high calling and it's a noble calling that in our culture today is looked down upon a lot. Oh, you're just a homemaker. Oh, okay. Well, too bad for you.
Yeah.
But then Paul says, but if you continue in faith, love, and holiness with propriety. So Paul is calling them back to the role God has given them. And that's not necessarily just having kids, because there are women that can't have, and they're single ladies.
Yeah.
But a call to live out what God has called you to live out. But is to be led by faith, by agape love, holiness. So it's not just, well, if I have children, then I'm kind of got to get out of jail free card. I'll make it to heaven. No, yeah. Paul says there is faith, there is trusting in God and living this out, but not grasping at the things that God hasn't designed you for or given to you. And it's nothing, like Andrew said, we have to keep reminding ourselves, nothing to do with equality. We are co-heirs with Christ.
Yeah.
Peter says that. Paul says that. There's no issue with one's greater than the other, but this is how God has created us. And when we're willing to say, okay, God, if this is what you want me to do, and it's a voluntary, will you voluntarily submit to God and take your role? Just like us as men, temptation sometimes is to be passive and not take our role. And God is saying, no, I created you to be leaders and I want you to step in and lead. Hmm. So,
yeah, I'm just going to read this because, I mean, she words this, Claire Smith words it really, really good. She says, and she talks about how childbearing is the most distinctive difference in the responsibilities between men and women. And then she says, verse 15 assures Christian women that their faith will be kept safe if they embrace their particular God-given female responsibilities. Instead of leaving their roles and assuming the male responsibilities of teaching and leadership, thinking as Eve did that this would make them more spiritual, these Christian women will avoid her error and her fate. They will be preserved in much the same way that Timothy and his hearers will be saved by him faithfully fulfilling his God-given responsibilities. I think that just sums it up really nice, that Paul isn't saying that, well, if you can't have kids, you're hooped, but he's saying women who are content in what God has called them to do, and she even, maybe it's having kids, maybe it's not, maybe it's being married, maybe it's not, but you will, as you work out your salvation, like the Bible talks about, not that you are working for your salvation, but if you're content in what God has called you to do, and then pursuing that, right? Continue in faith and love and holiness with self-control. So I think, again, it is connecting it back up to that first thought that, you know, women, this is what God has called you to. Men, this is what God has called you to. Different roles. Even some people point to Galatians 3. Well, it says there's no slave or free, no male or female, no Greek or barbarian or whatever it says. And they say, well, see, like because of the gospel, like, and it's almost like, well, Galatians 3 is a trump card for 1 Timothy 2, because God says that there's no distinctions anymore. But you have to understand that Galatians 3 is about salvation, that God doesn't give salvation to only males and not females. He doesn't give it to only Jews and not Gentiles. Mm-hmm. Galatians 3 is talking about the gospel, that it is for all people and that it's not exclusive. So in the eyes of salvation, there is no male or female, but that's not saying that there aren't God-given roles that we're supposed to walk in. So it is, once you kind of just spend time thinking about it, and it's almost like you have to remove your feelings from it. Because, I mean, I even, like, my wife grew up in a different denomination, the Nazarene denomination, and they have women lead pastors and women preachers, and so it was really hard for her when we met, and I was like, well, no, you need to repent of that. No, I'm just kidding. But talking about that, because she had lots of friends who have preached in church, and they feel, right, there's that word, they feel like God has called them to preach and that they want to do that. And so we have to be so careful. Like I said, the Bible, like your feelings don't trump what the Bible says, because lots of people have said, well, I feel like it's okay for me to have an affair. And we go, well, wait a second. The Bible is so clear that you can't have, like, you just can't. Well, I feel like, right? And we do that all the time. And just to avoid what the Bible commands, we kind of place our feelings on par or actually above God's commands. And so we can't do that. Like, because so often what really rubs us the wrong way is our culture, because our culture is anti-authority and our culture says it's oppressive and our feelings say all these things, but God's word should shape our feelings and our thoughts, not the other way around. So we have to be careful when we do that. But I would just, as, I don't know, some closing thoughts, encourage women, we need you desperately in the church. This is not to say, like, Paul is not saying, and we aren't saying that, you know, as men, we got this. You just sit in silence and we'll take care of everything. No, we desperately need godly women who will teach children and will teach other younger women what godliness looks like and will use their gifts and will be on mission. But we're just saying that it's not in that main preaching role. Yeah. That's reserved for men. But we can't do this kingdom work without you. We desperately need godly women who will use their gifts and who will advance the kingdom. So that I would encourage you, don't hear it as, well, that one role I'm not allowed to do. Hear it as these thousand other roles we desperately need you to fill and to use your gifts and to not just place, you know, preaching as an idol for you. That goes for men and women, but don't just place that one quote unquote forbidden role. I must have that and be like, look at the thousands of things that the church does and how can I use my gifts and plug in and also submit to the leadership of the church, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. And I would even add to that just to be praying for us as leaders that we would be captured with Jesus Christ and would be captured with just the passion to lead after the model of Jesus that and you would hold us accountable to take our place and provide the leadership God's calling us. But yeah, we definitely need prayers and to do that well.
Yeah, absolutely. So hopefully that's been helpful to you, if you're a man or a woman listening. Because we love God's word and we think that God is, well, obviously he's God and he knows best. And so trying to conform our ideas and will to the word and not the other way around. So hopefully that's been helpful to you and encouraging and challenging. And so next week we'll pick another tough passage and slug our way through it. God bless.